Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody. I was going to have a guest, but it kind of fell through a little bit. So I'm just going to try to make this work. We are going to today talk about Lonzo Ball and Luke Walton not playing him down the stretch of this game. It's become a trend at this point, and it makes me a little nervous. And then we're also going to talk about Brandon Ingram and some more stuff about him and LeBron. Eric Pincus wrote an article for Bleacher Report today, yesterday, by the time you guys are listening to this, about Brandon Ingram and Bradley Beal, that the Lakers would hesitate to even make that trade, and let alone any trade that involves anything beyond Brandon Ingram. I think that's the right stance, though. I do think that speculation is not going to go anywhere anytime soon. So that's where we're actually going to start today, is on Brandon Ingram and LeBron James and the Washington situation and all of that. Today's show is going to be brought to you by a new sponsor, actually. So more on those guys in a bit. And then also Mizuma, shout to Mizuma. So all of that is coming, all of that about those companies and our continued relationship with these companies will be coming here in a bit. So, but let's dive into this Brandon Ingram thing. I did some thinking over the weekend about Brandon Ingram and LeBron, and on one hand, it obviously makes sense that the two wouldn't quite mesh as well as we would like. Both guys like to have the ball. Brandon Ingram is, as we've talked about at length, not a very willing shooter, even if he might have improved in that space or in that aspect of the game. He hasn't improved, I don't think, nor will he ever really be comfortable being a volume shooter, or if that's going to happen, it's going to take more time than I think the Lakers are really willing to give. This is a one-year thing. I can't be clear enough on this. This is a one-year audition. And if Ingram and LeBron can't function fully at their highest levels together on a basketball court together, then the Lakers are going to find somebody. They're going to find a second player, a secondary scorer, or a second best player on the roster who can fit and function at his highest capacity next to LeBron James. That's their job. That's Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka's job right now, is find guys who make the most sense around LeBron. All this said, though, I still think Ingram and LeBron, there are ways to figure it out. And honestly, this is where I'm the most, I don't know if I'm going to say concerned, I'm the most annoyed when it comes to the Lakers system to this point. Look, Luke Walton and the Lakers said that they were going to focus on defense and then build the offense and implement the system as the season goes along. And that makes some sense, and I understand where that's coming from. Defense is something that you can control, and Luke Walton seems to be a good defensive coach, and if that's where he's going to, I guess, butter his bread as an NBA coach, then it makes sense that that's what he would focus on with the Lakers. But that still doesn't mean that the Lakers can be this rudimentary on offense. It's tough to watch, and when you watch them in the half court, look on the other side of the ball. Basically, anybody listening to the show, I would imagine, knows about strong side and weak side, and what that means is the side that the ball is on and that the focus of the defense is on, that's the strong side. The weak side is where I guess you can separate the better offenses from the more rudimentary ones. And when you watch the Lakers on the weak side, it just seems like the basketball equivalent of lip service, where they say, all right, we're gonna focus on setting a screen here, or we're gonna focus on some kind of switching action or whatever on the backside of a play. But they kind of walk to their spot, and even those guys who are trying to get to that spot, they either get there too late to where the angle isn't quite right, or their posture is not such that they can catch and release as quickly as they have to on those types of attempts. And that's part of it is that an individual thing. Part of that, though, comes back to coaching. And that's what Pete and I have spent a lot of time talking about is that's attention to detail. That's somebody in the coaching staff has to, during film sessions, point out when Brandon Ingram just kind of walks from spot to spot when he doesn't have the ball, like that's something that they have to get in his ear about. And we've already seen some of the results of either LeBron or Luke Walton coaching up a young guy. Lonzo Ball's newly found aggressiveness and consistent aggression, like that's a result of Luke Walton and LeBron and the entire coaching staff and probably the entire team getting in Lonzo's ear and saying, kid, we need you to focus. We need you to play with a certain amount of energy and consistent energy. And it's resulted in making Lonzo a better player and the Lakers a better team. Now we got to see that again with Ingram and here in the next segment, I'm going to talk about why or what specific things that make me more annoyed about this pairing than I probably should be at this stage of the season, and why I think that there's a chance that they can turn things around. So hang tight, and when I come back, we'll get back to that here in a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by Action Heat. This is a brand new sponsor, this is a brand new partner with the Locked On NBA Network. They basically put together clothes that are battery heated. And for those of you who will go up to the mountains, it's just been cold lately. I've been freezing here at my house, and it'd be nice to on certain occasions just put on a jacket that warms itself up. You know that feeling where you take clothes straight out of the dryer, and it just feels great. You just feel like you just the clothing equivalent of a hug that is just makes you literally warms your heart. That's what this company is helping you get on a regular basis without having to put your clothes back into the dryer. Or for you Seinfeld fans out there, there was that one great commercial or a great episode where Kramer kept cooking his clothing in the pizza oven. Great show. Anyway, I digress. So what I'm going to do is I want you to go to actionheat.com/lockedon to get 20% off your entire order. Again, that's actionheat.com/lockedon and use the promo code LOCKEDON to get 20% off of your entire order. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. And I'm looking forward to how our relationship is going to grow with those guys moving forward. We are going to take another quick second here. And when we come back, we'll get after the show. I think Brandon Ingram and LeBron James can turn things around, and why it's so frustrating to watch Ingram play the way that he does, and really it boils down to a couple things. One, LeBron James is maybe one of the best passers I have ever seen. He's just incredible, and it's not just the way he sees the court. That's obviously very important, but his ability to execute all of these passes is just mind-boggling. It's great to watch. It's a lot of fun to watch. Brandon Ingram has pretty good. I wish his instincts were a little bit better than they are currently are. Obviously, his instincts right now is just to kind of stand and float around the perimeter. I think he and Kuzma need to reverse their roles in the half court. Kuzma does a lot of the cutting, and he's a good finisher as well. I think Kuzma, just in general, is more willing to put in the work on the court away from the ball compared to Brandon Ingram, who has basically devolved into only an isolation scorer. And Kuzma being the better shooter that he is, I think the Lakers are better suited with him spending more time on the perimeter, and that allows, or that might allow, Brandon Ingram to get out there and cut to the basket and finish. He's a pretty good finisher when he isn't only relying on his own isolation moves to the basket. I would like to see him be more involved in the cutting aspect of their half court sets and have Kuzma go out there and space the floor and allow Brandon Ingram to do more of the cutting and finishing off of these LeBron James passes. And I just think that's how this team is most capable of figuring out that dynamic between LeBron and Ingram. And for those who have said, hey, why don't they just stagger their minutes and either bring Ingram in off of the bench and allow him to run with the second unit, or if he's going to start, maybe have him be the first guy off of the court, and then that allows him to spend more time with the second unit in that way. I mean, you can, but at the end of the day, in a 48-minute game, there are in which that LeBron is going to play 30 minutes a game, that only leaves 18 minutes for Brandon Ingram to play on the floor where he isn't on the court at the same time as LeBron. And what the Lakers need, if they're going to reach this specific roster's potential, it's going to have to be on the backs of LeBron and Ingram figuring things out. And look, we're just about at that 20 game mark. That's kind of the first, you're a quarter of the way through the season. Now is when you at least have decent sample sizes of who works with others on the court. And I spent a show talking about that. But at least right now you have enough either video analysis or video data or statistical data that can support different ways that different guys on the roster can be used. And for Brandon Ingram, I don't think this is the best way that he can be used. He's doing great stuff on the defensive end. He's doing pretty good stuff on his good nights where he is hitting from mid-range. But the margin for error for Ingram to be an efficient scorer is razor thin if he's only relying on isolation in the mid-range. And those, I just, for a 21-year-old kid, I just don't think that's the best way to figure out, and that's the best way to find a role for the guy, to make it so that he has to play his absolute best games offensively in order to be a net positive offensive player. The Lakers coaching staff has not done a good job to this point finding the best kind of role that makes the most sense for Brandon Ingram and LeBron James specifically to coexist. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Lonzo Ball and how he fits into how the coaching staff is running this team and running the rotations late, and a trend that nobody should really be happy about. So hang tight. We'll come back, and we'll talk about Lonzo. Today's show is also brought to you in part by Mazuma. They have been incredible with us in being patient with me trying to organize my finances. I am truly and positively blessed with how the show has grown. The last year or so has legitimately changed Jen in my life, and I have you guys to thank for a lot of that, and I have Mazuma to thank for a lot of that, as they've helped me focus on growing the show and not managing my books and finances. I would be a disaster at it. And fortunately, as I say all the time, they have licensed CPAs, bookkeepers, and accountants all here in the U.S., a single call, email, or text message away. They have a live chat feature on their website when you hop on there as well. It's just a great organization that works extremely well from the top down. And look, your business might not need all of that. And what you're going to do, though, is you're going to call 213-947-6926. Again, that's 213-947-6926. And you're going to give them a call, and they have packages starting at only $75 a month. and you're going to figure out what's the best package for your small business specifically. That's Mazooma. Your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Lonzo Ball. All right, so Lonzo Ball is, at this point, I think, the most impactful, consistently impactful young Laker that they have right now in terms of what he's capable of bringing to the table. The problem is he doesn't this is well-charted territory at this point, but the problem with Lonzo is that he's not always completely energized and focused on doing all of the things that make him the special player that a lot of us know he can be. And so for the Lakers, what they need to do is, and what they've done a good job of doing, they've really focused on getting Lonzo consistently energized and focused, and that's great. But what I'm not particularly thrilled watching is the best way to reward a guy like Lonzo Ball and remind him and let him know that he's doing the right things for the team is to play him, right? That's minutes are the number one carrot that a coach can offer to any given player, especially a young one. And unfortunately right now, with the way that the late game situations are going, Lonzo is having the impact that the Lakers need him to have for the first, you know, three quarters of the game or four fifths of the game, only to ride the pine in the game's most important minutes. And look, Luke Walton has done a good job of communicating to fans who might be frustrated about it. He's probably, I would imagine, doing a good job communicating that with Lonzo Ball as well, why he might not be playing on any given night. But one thing that I'm starting to notice is that it seems like he's looking for reasons not to play Lonzo Ball, right? Oh, well, so-and-so just happened to have it going. Well, that so-and-so was 1 for 7 from three-point range, right, in the last game against Orlando. And so for the Lakers, though, for them to achieve what they are hoping to achieve organizationally, they need Lonzo Ball to be put in the absolute best situation to succeed. They need Brandon Ingram to be put in the absolute best situation to succeed. And while I think they've done a better job of that with Lonzo as they figured out new ways for him to be involved in the offense, setting screens and pushing the pace and allowing him to just go out there and be a one-man fast break. Like, those are things that the coaching staff has figured out with Lonzo. And I don't know if it's that Lonzo is more malleable and more responsive when he's told what to do compared to Brandon Ingram. There's any number of variables here that might be at play between those two guys and figuring out what's best or how best to get them fully utilized on a nightly basis. But for Lonzo, there's no way you're ever going to find out what he's capable of in these late game situations if he's never in said late game situations. He has to play. He has to be in for these moments. And some nights that might cost him a win. But it's not like, you know, if they crawl all the way back and then lose to Orlando, it's not like they got that win anyways either, right? If we're going to make all of our analysis and drive all of our analysis with results-based hindsight here, if they aren't winning anyway, then Lonzo should have been in there. It makes it only further highlights why Lonzo should have been in there. And now look, we're probably having a very different conversation here if KCP makes a wide open three pointer or LeBron James makes a wide open three pointer, and the Lakers wind up pulling out what would have been another ugly win. But another trend that we've kind of noticed here, and this will be the last kind of point I make for this specific episode, but one thing that we're kind of noticing is, well, you know, that the Lakers didn't play particularly well, but they won, right? And well, you know, it was ugly and it actually hurt my eyes watching that game, but a win is a win. And to a certain extent, that's obviously true. The Lakers at this stage of this rebuild are more interested in wins versus development, I would probably say. But when the development is coming for guys who are better players than their counterparts anyway, that's where I get kind of lost. And look, Luke Walton and Pete and I have talked a ton about this. Luke Walton is operating under the scenario here where he was not hired by Magic Johnson and he was not hired with LeBron James as a reference. So maybe he's just in full-on job-saving mode, which to a certain extent, I can't quite blame him there. I would like to remain the Lakers head coach and make millions of dollars to do what they get to do. But that said, at some point, he does need to do what's best for the team and what's best for the organization. And I would hope that he would be getting, if he is getting walking orders from Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka and the rest of the front office, that some of those walking orders might be, hey, go out there and play Lonzo Ball because he's a cornerstone of this franchise as it currently sits. And as we hope, it remains moving forward, right? So we'll see how that plays out over the course of this season. And look, maybe the very next game, Lonzo Ball will get in there and will finally get the opportunity to play in these late game situations. Luke Walton said that he was hoping to get Lonzo out there for that late game situation, but that he wanted to stick with the hot hand and all of that. And like I said, that's a fine explanation. But it comes across at this point with when you look at the bigger picture and you look at this trend in its entirety, it's a nightly excuse that Luke Walton keeps on making for not playing Lonzo, and that just it's not organizationally smart. It just isn't. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Next time you guys hear from us, Pete and I will be talking about the game against the Denver Nuggets. It'll be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one, and this is the Lakers are coming off of a lighter part of the schedule, and they're going to get back to some toughish games here in a bit. Winning in Denver is always tough, but we'll see how that goes. Pete and I will talk right after the game, and we'll have that show up as soon as we possibly can after that game is over. Thank you guys for tuning in very much. Thank you to Action Heat and Mizuma for supporting this podcast and all of our partners for supporting this podcast. Let's continue to support them so we can keep these lights on, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good one.